The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
2 days ago, Barack Obama alluded to it while campaigning with Terry McAuliffe, calling it phony right-wing outrage. Yesterday, everything was substantiated in court, including a bizarre detail that the fact that this kid was wearing a skirt is actually central to his defense. He claims that his wristwatch got caught on the skirt he was wearing while he was hanging out in the girl's bathroom, and that caused inadvertent sexual contact to occur.
So Barack Obama, who really is a heartless monster, and I'm glad that's clear to everyone now, described the rape of a child as phony right-wing outrage?
Wow, that's Tucker Carlson last night calling Barack Obama a heartless monster, pointing out how that when he was stumping for McAuliffe over the weekend, he basically described the rape of a child as phony right-wing outrage. That's what he did. To me, that's an astounding clip there, because it wasn't that long ago when, not even at Fox News, not even in conservative media, you didn't really call Barack Obama anything negative. Wasn't it, I think it was Glenn Beck who said that there was some racist comment that Barack Obama made. And I mean, he had to show up the next day on the morning show at Fox to apologize. You don't criticize the dear leader. You swoon. Remember, that's an America Under Attack. You swoon before Barack Obama. Barack Obama's to be worshipped practically. And here, the truth, I think you can find some hopeful, perhaps, signs here in just that little exchange, that the truth is being exposed. This Antiochus spirit, he's exposed as only a heartless monster. Tucker's right. Good for him. Only a heartless monster would get out on a campaign trail, stumping for a guy who wants to be governor, and basically describe a rape of a teenage girl as something that's phony. You know about the school board. You know about the superintendent. They all covered this up. And on Monday, the judge found this sexual predator guilty. And now he's in jail. Who knows how long he'll be in jail for, but at least he's in jail. Yes, he's guilty of a heinous crime. And one that Barack Obama, yes, the same Barack Obama that so many in the media just swooned before. He can do no wrong. He's an angel of light. And Tucker says, I'm glad it's clear to everyone now that Barack Hussein Obama is a heartless monster. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, not brought to you by Pfizer or Moderna. Not Moderna either. We've got a lot to get to on the subject of Moderna here in just a bit. But we certainly thank you for joining our growing audience. We're thankful for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. Channel 3 on that platform takes the live audio stream into 11 million American homes every single day. But to get to the live video stream of this show, you've got to go to our very own website, thetrumpet.com. You can just go to thetrumpet.com/live and get to the live stream page. And also you can get to all of our videos that are posted after the fact as well, so that you can watch this show on demand. Perhaps America, many in America are waking to the fact that we are under communist attack, just as Herbert Armstrong was describing back in the 1950s. Some are saying that Loudoun County, really a blue county. They're saying that at the very least, Glenn Youngkin, he's probably gonna win that county because parents are, as I've said all week and last week and the week before, parents are furious. They had the children at the Loudoun County High School at the center of this controversy, and it shouldn't even be a controversy, should it? I mean, rape is rape. But here is Barack Obama saying, hey, that's just phony, that's phony right-wing outrage. That's something a heartless monster would say. Yesterday, the children, the teenagers at this high school in question, they walked out of school in protest. In protest against these school board members, this superintendent that covered it all up. I mean, it says something when this Antiochus administration, Joe Obama, it says something when you're losing the young people, when you're losing Loudoun County, when you might lose Virginia. We'll see next week, I suppose. Still would be a shock to see Virginia not go in the direction of Terry McAuliffe. But as I've said this week, you know they're bringing in Obama. They're even bringing in Biden to stump for McAuliffe. And his approval ratings are in the toilet, basically. So they've got to get out their Democrat base or they're going to lose. They know this. Because their policies are so unpopular. Because their dear leader is saying things like, hey, rape of a teenage girl? I mean, that's just phony right-wing outrage. There's a lot of heartless monsters in the world today. This morning in doctrines class, we were studying the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And really, there's a depth to that commandment if you really dig in and study. And when you add to that the spirit behind it, and it's not just something Jesus talked about in Matthew 5. I mean, you can get to the spirit behind this command in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy as well. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not hate your brother. That's what God said about Cain. You should guard and protect and love your brother. This spirit of murder, it saturates our society. It permeates the air. People everywhere, they judge, they condemn one another. They're angry. We have derision and contempt on display, even on the round tables, the talk shows, the cable shows, the news shows. You see the spirit of hatred, of bitterness, scorn, envy, strife. I heard the phone call of that former CNN employee that threatened Congressman Gates' life. Now, he's a Trump supporter, so the DOJ didn't want to look into this. It's okay to pick up the phone, evidently. According to Merrick Garland's DOJ, it's okay to pick up the phone and to say to Matt Gaetz, I'm going to come and shoot you. I'm going to come and kill you, and then I'm going to kill your child. Well, thankfully, that individual, that deranged lunatic, has now been arrested 8-9 months after the fact, because violence, in some cases, violence and hatred and murder is justified. Look at all the people murdered in the Summer of Love last year. You know, the mostly peaceful riots, so said the media, as they covered up actual murder. The spirit of it, though, it just fills. It fills the public discussion. It's everywhere. Radio, TV, the internet. You see a lot of heartless monsters. Look at Fauci and his people. They justify it. Torturing puppies, monkeys, even little orphan children now. Little orphans. We got to find a drug to heal people of AIDS. You see the way people think. It's like Romans 1 describes. You reject God. You don't give God credit or thanks, and God turns you over to a reprobate mind, a worthless mind. And that's the kind of mind that would conduct experiments on little beagles and let these sandflies just eat them to death. Eat them alive. And then they say, well, it's all about the science. I mean, this is some satanic science we're talking about. A heartless monster. Google, by the way, they're censoring these animal rights groups that are targeting Fauci. There's a lot of people upset about what Fauci is doing. Like I said the other day, I mean, you experiment on people all you want, but don't you dare experiment with little puppies. And so this group puts an ad together attacking Anthony Fauci, and that's prohibited. The communists in the media, social media, big tech, they're not going to allow that. You can't criticize Fauci that way. Go, just never mind what Fauci does in the dark of night, or what he outsources to Wuhan, or what he does in New York City, or sponsors in New York City with little orphan children. Doesn't matter. He's Anthony Fauci. He's the highest paid federal employee. He's the expert. He's the one that says everybody's got to get the jab. He's to be worshipped. How much longer before people wake up to the fact that Fauci, just like Tucker said regarding Barack Obama, is a heartless monster? Now look, these people, they're deceived. They don't have God's truth. But this is Romans 1. I mean, look at the way God inspired the Apostle Paul to write about it. Look, I'm gonna give you over to reprobate, worthless thinking. Read Romans 1 sometime, or read in the Gospels where Jesus said, you vipers, you snakes. Because all these Pharisees were going on and on about how much love they had. And Christ said to them, you don't have love, you're murderers, just like your fathers. They talked about how much love they had, even as they were plotting and scheming to kill the Son of God, to murder the Son of God. This is from our booklet, the Ten Commandments booklet. It says, but to truly put this commandment, speaking of the sixth commandment, into action, we must go beyond simply avoiding hatred or committing violence against any human being. Much more is required. On the positive side, we must actively love every human being. This is the hardest part of the sixth commandment to implement. It requires a massive change in human thinking. I mean, if we're obeying the spirit of the sixth commandment, that means we're actively working to love fellow man. The sixth commandment really and truly does embody that second great command, which is like the first one. Jesus said in Matthew 22, love God with your whole heart, put God first above all else. And then the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't see that much, you don't see that kind of love very much in the world today. It's every man for himself. It's all politics. It's like yesterday with the governor in New Jersey. Hey, I got to get reelected, and then I'll impose my communist will on the little peons in New Jersey. Then I'll lock it down. Then I'll put all these mandatory requirements in place. But I got to get reelected first. And it's the same with Virginia. And so in comes Barack Obama, say, hey, all this outrage that parents have because of this rape in the Loudoun County High School, it's just phony. Didn't really happen. And the superintendent of the school said the same thing. Yeah, there's no cases of any kind of violence. The kids at the school know that's a lie. That's why they staged the walkout yesterday. And their parents know that that environment is dangerous. It's dangerous. But people lie. They lie. They don't love that 14-year-old girl. Not the way they would their own daughter, presumably. I mean, that's what one congressman asked Merrick Garland. Look, you have a daughter. How would you feel? Barack Obama has two daughters. What if it was his daughter in that bathroom at Loudoun County? Well, you would hope he'd be singing to a different tune if that were the case. But because it's on the other side, it's justified. Or it just didn't happen. It's just phony. They're making it up. That's one of the things that set the father off, remember, at the school board meeting back in June or whenever it was. Is he had some angry, hateful, communist, left-wing woman wagging her finger in his face saying, that didn't happen. Your daughter wasn't raped. And then the mom, the wife of this man that was drug out of there, made to look like a fool. Oh, he's a Trump supporter. He's issuing threats. The mom is crying out, my daughter was raped. That's why we're here. But see, Barack Obama, he's the same as that woman that knew nothing about the case. It was just wagging her finger in the faces of those parents saying it didn't happen. And then comes Barack Obama after he's had plenty of time to get the facts. Same with Merrick Garland. What did he say last week in the hearing? We'll see what he says today. Hopefully they grill him more at the Senate side of the chamber. But last week, Merrick Garland, he knew nothing about it. Didn't know anything about the case. The whole state of Virginia does. Certainly it's gotten some national attention as well. Only a heartless monster, a murderer, if you look at the spirit of the command, would come in and say, yeah, it's just phony. It's just phony. Didn't even happen. That spirit, it's coming from Satan the devil. Think about John 8 and verse 44. It says he was a murderer. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. I mean, from the beginning, he presided over a third of the angels. And they can't even die. They're immortal. So he turned a third of them to lawlessness and violence. And God says the spirit of all that is the spirit of murder. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's the author of all this hatred that we see in our society today. All this uncontrolled anger, this contempt, this win at all cost. Never mind the casualties. Never mind the collateral damage. Never mind children. There's a representative on the FDA panel. They voted to get this. They got to get this drug into little five-year-olds. So the door is open now for that. It's later in my notes. I just want to give you what he said. Dr. Rubin, I don't have his first name. He's on the FDA panel. He said yesterday, we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's the way it goes. I mean, that's similar to what Nancy Pelosi said years ago about Obamacare. We're not going to learn about what's in it until we pass it. Just ram it through. I mean, this is will worship. This is will worship of the devil, and the devil was a murderer from the beginning, a liar, a murderer, a cheater, lawless through and through. How did this guy get on the FDA panel? We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it? You mean like to those puppies or those chimpanzees? Oh, those little orphans in the early 2000s in New York City? Dozens of them died from all the experiments. Our children now are being experimented on. That's what it amounts to. Tucker got into this on his show last evening as well. Play clip 8.
According to the Substack Technofog, which is run by a brilliant attorney called Travis Miller, Pfizer previously announced that vaccine side effects for small children are, quote, generally comparable to those observed in participants 16 to 25 years of age. So what does that mean exactly? Well, it means the potential for many new cases of myocarditis among small kids in order to protect an age group that is not at risk in the first place from COVID. Once again, this is lunacy on the merits, according to the science, and people around the country are starting to figure that out.
People are starting to figure it out, just like they're starting to figure it out that, wait a second, he sounds like an angel of light, but only a heartless monster would come in and say that's phony outrage. No, that's real. That's real outrage. Here, Tucker's saying, look, just give, this is what the authorities are saying, just give the children the jab. We'll find out later if it's safe or not. What about all these rising cases of myocarditis? Look, we're willing to take that risk. We've got to take the jab. The 5-year-olds who are not in danger at all of dying from COVID. Tucker pointed out that a few years ago, you look at the number of children dying from the flu, it's about what it was for COVID. It's rare. And usually there's other issues, comorbidities, as we hear about so much, or we should anyway. So we're willing to risk heart problems, blood clots, strokes, just so that we can get the drug, the experimental drug, in a 5-year-old's body. And someone on the panel of the FDA says, look, we're not even going to know how safe it is until after we jab them. That's what passes for expert analysis these days. That's Romans 1. That's reprobate thinking. This is what happens when you reject God and His Word, when you reject what God has to say on any given subject, in this case, health, physical health. You throw the Bible out the window, and this is what we're left with. Listen to I gave you that program last week on Pfizer. Remember we played that montage? All these programs brought to you by Pfizer. We had a trumpet brief that went out last night. The Trumpet Daily, I wrote, is not brought to you by Pfizer, but many American news programs are. Listen to, now this is over at Fox Business News. Fox Business. Maria Bartiromo, I mean, we've played clips from her before. She's a fairly sharp gal, but the absolute over-the-top gushing and praise for the chairman of Moderna, you know, the little company that really wasn't amounting to anything until the COVID vaccine came along. Listen to how Maria Bartiromo sets up her interview with this chairman of Moderna, clip one.
We are zeroing in on Moderna and the vaccine business this morning. Moderna says its COVID-19 vaccine is safe and generates a strong immune response in children ages 6 to 11. The company planning to submit results to regulators soon. The FDA's independent vaccine advisory panel could endorse Pfizer's vaccine, meanwhile, for children ages 5 to 10 today, with possible CDC approval next week.
Strong, it's safe. I mean, it really boosts the immune response. So says who? Well, the people at Pfizer, the people at Moderna. I'm about to talk to the chairman of Moderna. He says that's wonderful. Of course he does. He's making billions and billions of dollars. Look at the conflict of interest here. How much money does Fox Business News take in from advertisers from Pfizer or Moderna? Play clip two.
Great to see you, Nubar. Thanks so much for being here this morning. And boy, oh boy, you've got to be feeling great these days. Congratulations to you and your team for all that you've done. mRNA technology coming up with the record-breaking span in just 11 months. Moderna has created, developed, manufactured, and gotten the regulatory approval for this vaccine. What a year. What a 2 years, Nubar.
And you know what follows right after that? The big image, the graphic of the stock, Moderna, went from $20 a share in January 2020 to peaking just recently at $450 per share. $20 to $450 in a little more than 18 months. And then you see her. This is, what a great 2 years. This is on Fox Business, keep in mind. What a great couple of years this has been for you. And there he is, looking, I think, slightly uncomfortable at the fact that, yeah, she's going to focus in on the money we're making hand over fist. Listen to clip three.
The analysts on Wall Street are expecting Moderna to report $21 billion at a minimum for COVID-19 vaccine sales this year. Is it much more than that?
Are you going to make more than $21 billion? And look at him. As I say, a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit unhealthy looking, by the way, but we'll leave that aside. But these are the ones saying, hey, just take the jab, take the drug, and take it as off. They go on and talk about how that this could be the way of American life from here, not just America, the whole world. You got to get those boosters. We got to come back and get more of these experimental drugs. Here's clip four.
We definitely think that this will be a record year for us and a very strong basis for what's to come in the future as the world both gets more and more access to primary vaccine and, of course, the booster application in the developed countries begins to now take off with the EUA approval that we just received.
Yeah, this is a real runway when you look at what's possible outside of the United States.
They're talking about financially, economically. Well, this is a real runway. When you talk about other countries getting in on the action, buying the Moderna vaccine, that is. I mean, what a boon this will be for your company. From some of the headlines, Sam got these from over the past year or so. May 22nd, 2020. They were making all these announcements. Moderna was. Hey, we're close. We're making good progress. The mRNA, whatever the technology is, it's really coming along. They didn't really have any product to speak of before the COVID vaccine. And then, bam, the company just explodes onto the scene because of COVID. And they're making all these announcements along the way. We're getting really close. Meanwhile, the shareholders, they're excited. They're giddy with joy. We're going to make a ton of money on this. CBS News, May 22nd, 2020, Moderna CEO and other execs made millions on vaccine announcement. That's May of last year. Just the announcement alone made them millions and millions of dollars. Stat News from May 2020, Moderna executives have cashed out $89 million in shares this year as stock price has soared on vaccine hopes. You think there might have been any selfish, some would say hateful motivations to rush this vaccine out, even if it hurt people? This is from July 2020, Wall Street Journal. Inside Moderna, the COVID vaccine frontrunner with no track record and an unsparing CEO, no track record to speak of. It's just like the vaccine itself and the FDA guy that acknowledged yesterday, hey, we're not going to know how safe it is until after we get everybody jabbed. Then we'll know. Does that make you feel safe? Does that make you feel comfortable about taking the jab? And all these people that keep getting the COVID, even after they've gotten the jabs. Piers Morgan, he loves the shots. He's probably into booster 2, 3, and 4 by now. And he gets the COVID again. He's on Twitter talking about how for 15 weeks he hasn't been able to taste wine or coffee. He's still struggling with COVID, but he still loves the jab. And the problem with the world, the way he thinks and so many others like him, is the people that won't get vaccinated. They're the problem. They're the threat. Yahoo France, April 12th, 2021. This is from this year. Moderna Inc., CEO, Stéphane Bancel sold 2.5 million of shares. They're making money, millions and millions of dollars, these execs. And then here comes the chairman. Rubar, what's his name? Rubar, what a year this has been for you. Yeah, it's a record year. That's right. It's a record year, and next year it's going to be even better. In fact, we may be living on COVID money from here on out. Listen to clip five.
Newbar, let me ask you about these booster shots gaining more traction. It could redefine how regulators and business and others are defining what's fully vaccinated. So will regulators consider the two Moderna shots, which is what I got, or is it going to be the three vaccine shots as being fully vaccinated?
You know, Maria, we're a bit in uncharted territory, and so we just don't know how this virus is going to travel from being a pandemic all the way to potentially an endemic virus we have to get used to living with. If that's where it ends up, then it may well need an annual booster, potentially varying on a year-to-year or every few years basis as the virus varies.
That's the chairman of Moderna saying that, yeah, we're having to think about transitioning from viewing this as a pandemic to an endemic. It just goes on and on and on. What would you expect the chairman of Moderna to say if Maria says, hey, if you get the two, are you fully vaccinated? Or should we now count fully vaccinated as getting the booster after the first two jabs? Imagine if he were to come back and say, oh, no, we don't need anything more. Just the two is fine. That's sufficient because it was perfect. Remember, that's how we sold it. Of course he's going to say get a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one. This is an endemic now. We're just going to have to live with it. And Moderna's just going to have to live with those astronomical profits every single year. Booster after booster after booster. What a boost to the bottom line of Moderna. There's a bit more. Clip six.
I think if we end up there, there will be a continuous need for boosting. Boosting gives us the antibodies that are the first line of defense in our body.
An endless need for boosting. And not once in this exchange did Maria ever ask him about any of the dangerous side effects. Sweden put an indefinite moratorium on giving Moderna vaccine to anyone under 30. It would have been a good time to maybe ask him about that. Why would Sweden do that? The Western Journal writes, new concerns are being raised about side effects from the Moderna vaccine against the coronavirus. Swedish health officials have now decided that a moratorium on giving the Moderna vaccine to anyone under 31 will be extended indefinitely. Keep in mind, the FDA approved it for five-year-olds. And we got to find out if it's safe after they all get it. Five-year-olds! Only a heartless monster would do something such as that. And there's a lot of them around. It says the UK Daily Mail reported the pause on the Moderna shots had been scheduled to end on December 1. Finland, Iceland, and Denmark have taken similar steps. Norway is encouraging men under 30 not to get the Moderna shot. So, Rubar, what do you think about this? Why are these governments in Europe saying don't get the Moderna shot? Never mind. Let's get back to profits. This is the only... Really, and it's not even a criticism, but this is the only point in the interview where Maria actually asks him something that could be considered a good question to ask regarding immunity and the effectiveness of the drug compared to natural immunity. This is clip seven.
But Newbar, isn't it true that if you do get infected, and I recognize that that's a real risk to take because everybody's body is different and you may very well face a very tough situation when you do get it. Others don't face anything. But once you get it, don't you have more immunity from the actual infection than you do from the vaccine?
I don't think that that's a statement that there's data for one way or the other.
And here again, what would you expect him to say? It's obvious you have more protection if you've gotten the virus and you've recovered from it. It's obvious. But there's the chairman saying, well, I don't think the science is really in on that. In other words, hey, as far as we know, the vaccine's even better than natural immunity. And so this is where we are. Just get the vaccine. PJ Media recently, Yale study, natural immunity protects against COVID 3 times longer than the vaccine. 3 times! Brownstone Institute from October says 91 research studies affirm naturally acquired immunity to COVID-19, documented, linked, and quoted. We should not force COVID vaccines on anyone when the evidence shows that naturally acquired immunity is equal to or more robust and superior to existing vaccines. Instead, we should respect the right of the bodily integrity of individuals to decide for themselves. So someone that gets it, like I got it a few months ago, you've got more immunity built in. Naturally. But nobody's going to make $21 billion off that. So get the jab. Just get the jab. And there she is asking him, but isn't natural immunity better? Well, I don't really know for sure, but not that I know of. Not that I know of. The vaccine, you see, just keep getting it. And now we're into the boosters. And there he is talking about the endemic. In other words, it's never going to end. Let me just take you back to that Yale epidemiologist, Dr. Harvey Risch. We played a clip from him, I believe, on Monday's show. This was in another interview. That one we played was from Mark Levin. This was on another interview recently, and this is clip 12.
The unvaccinated should be afraid of the vaccinated. They're just as infective, in fact, maybe more infective if vaccinated people are infected. So it is well known that it is the vaccinated people that generate the mutant strains and not the unvaccinated people. And that has led corruption of the medical establishment, saying that unvaccinated people are generating the mutants is an absolute falsehood. It is exactly the opposite. This has been known for 100 years that it's vaccinated people who are more prone to generate mutant strains.
In other words, the cure is worse than the disease. It's causing more problems. And if you've been listening to this program, you're well aware of that. Sam came upon this revealing piece from NPR, of all places, just yesterday. National Public Radio, far left-wing organization, government-sponsored for some reason, swings far to the left. And listen to this. It says, inside the emergency department at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, Michigan, staff members are struggling to care for patients who are showing up much sicker than they've ever seen. It's a stark contrast to where this emergency department and thousands of others were at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. Now just try to wrap your mind around that statement for a minute. Here they've got all kinds of patients now, and they're sicker than ever. And yet at the start of the pandemic, they were bracing themselves for all of these sick people. And then there were a few exceptions like New York City, but most of these hospital wards were empty during the pandemic. And now we're in the age of vaccine, jab one, jab two, booster, booster, booster. It's pretty revealing, this NPR piece. It says, except for initial hotspots like New York City, many ERs across the U.S. were often eerily empty in the spring of 2020. Well, we weren't hearing that from the propagandists in the media in the spring of 2020. What were we hearing? It was mass hysteria. We had to lock everything down because the hospital, remember, they were taking in Navy vessels, ships into New York City that never were used, as it turns out. Remember the Javits Center? Remember all those beds? Remember all the ventilators, as Governor Cuomo would talk endlessly about? Just a year and a half ago. Terrified of contracting COVID, people who were sick with other things did their best to stay away from hospitals. Well, that's NPR's take. But maybe there weren't as many people deathly ill as the media made it out to be. It says visits to emergency departments dropped to half their normal levels, according to the Epic Health Research Network, and didn't fully rebound until the summer of 2021. That would be this past summer. Visits, this is the NPR, visits to emergency departments dropped to half their normal levels. This was at the peak of the pandemic. The pandemic that now is an endless endemic, evidently. NPR says even in parts of the country where COVID-19 isn't overwhelming the health system, patients are showing up at the ER sicker than they were before the pandemic. Their disease is more advanced and in need of more complicated care. Months of treatment delays have exacerbated chronic conditions and worsened symptoms. We told you all of this, by the way. But look, there's even more to it than the after effects of the lockdown. All the people that weren't getting care during the pandemic for some of these other diseases and some of these other sicknesses. Now you've got them coming in as sick as ever. And then you've got all the additional side effects from the vaccine. It's making people sick. It's causing a lot of strokes. It says doctors and nurses say the severity of illness ranges widely and includes abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots, heart conditions, and suicide attempts, among others. So what about the blood clots and the heart conditions? Why is that so much worse? And why are there so many more excess deaths than there used to be? They won't get into it. They want to cover that up. Says, although the number of ER visits returned to pre-coronavirus levels this past summer, the admission rates from ER to the hospital's inpatient floors are still around 20% higher. That's according to the most recent analysis from this outfit. It's an early indicator that what's happening in the ED is that we're seeing more acute cases than we were pre-pandemic. What did we say? Back in the summer of last year? The cure is worse than the disease. It's worse than the sickness. It's worse than the virus. And the experts just keep making it worse. Now we got to jab the five-year-olds. That is total insanity. That's not love for those little children. Certainly not when you say something like, hey, we don't even know how safe it is. We'll find out later. Just get the jab. Get the jab and we'll find out later about whether or not it's safe. I had it somewhere in my notes. One of our viewers had a conversation with a specialist that I guess takes people through some physical therapy if they've suffered from a stroke and they're partially blind to just try to improve their eyesight. And over the phone, a viewer of this program heard from this specialist that her phone's ringing off the hook because of all of these cases of strokes and blindness to go with it. She says every one of them that's called has gotten the vaccine recently. Now, that's not a nationwide survey that I've taken. But if that woman, that specialist, were to get on YouTube or on Twitter and tell her story, what would happen? She'd be censored immediately. She'd be blotted out immediately. Where is the love? Think of the spirit of that sixth commandment. Where is the love for fellow man? Where is the love coming from these top executives making billions of dollars saying, well, you know, this is experimental technology, these spike proteins and stuff. Just the fact that people like Piers Morgan are getting COVID anyway tells you that at the very least, the vaccine is not effective. But then you add to that the people suffering from heart attacks, from strokes, from partial blindness, from paralysis. Will their story ever be told? There's a few out there. We usually draw attention to them here. But here her phone's ringing off the hook. All these people, and I would add, younger people, younger to middle-aged people, strokes, blindness. It's very sad to see. It's disheartening. It's depressing. I mean, even the specialist said this. To hear about these cases one after another after another. It says, meanwhile, there has been an increase in people coming to the ER with more serious conditions like strokes and heart attacks. That's from NPR yesterday. And then I've told you about all of these stories coming out of Europe, the UK, Germany. It's happening here too. All the excess deaths. You know about the VAERS website? More than 17,000 that we know of have died from the vaccine. It used to be and I'm talking about like 2 seconds ago, it used to be that if the vaccine side effects, whatever the vaccine was, if it caused 100 deaths, it was immediately stopped. It was immediately shelved. You think that chairman of Moderna is, you think he's going to shelve his drug based upon what's happening in Sweden and Finland and Iceland? No, you just go forward and you talk about endless boosters year after year after year. The cure, as we said, probably before anyone else, the cure is far worse than the disease. We said that in the early stages of the lockdown. The vaccine wasn't even there. Moderna's stock was booming. We didn't know that at the time. It was booming based on comments from guys like Rubar that said, hey, we're close. We're going to have the miracle drug. It's just around the corner. Now the drug is here. And look at what it's doing. Look at what it's doing to our nations. Look at what it's doing to millions upon millions of people. You won't get the truth about it, though, from anywhere except here. You just get the kind of gushing praise like you saw in that interview on Fox Business. Hey, this is great for business. This is great for the bottom line. This is great for Moderna. This is from Singapore a couple days ago. It's one of the most highly vaccinated places on earth, even more so than Israel. 84% vaxxed. And they're extending, in Singapore, they're extending COVID restrictions because deaths are on the rise. 84% vax. Remember last year they said, hey, once 70%, once this runs through a majority of the population, you get to 60, 70%, you've got herd immunity. 84% have been vaxxed. I wonder if they go with Moderna or with Pfizer. Doesn't matter, I guess. This article says, at the current situation we face, considerable risk of the healthcare system being overwhelmed, said Lawrence Wong, Singapore's finance minister and co-chair of the multi-ministry COVID-19 task force. It says, it's not simply a matter of having extra beds or purchasing new equipment. Our medical personnel are stretched and fatigued. The entire nation has been vaxxed. And now it's crisis time in Singapore. Now, as NPR reported yesterday, it's the same way for many hospitals in America. Hospitals that were bracing themselves for this kind of thing back in March, April of last year, it never did happen. Now it's happening. Why? It brings up a lot of questions, doesn't it? But you don't get answers to those kinds of questions. Not at Fox Business, not at Fox News. A little bit from Tucker, I suppose. Outside of that, hey, it's get the jab. It doesn't matter what happens in hospitals. It doesn't matter that people are coming in sicker. It doesn't matter this rise in heart attacks and strokes. It doesn't matter that people are getting blinded by this drug. I mentioned this conservative Treehouse piece. Myocarditis has almost doubled from 1 in 10,000 in August to 1 in 5,000 in just 2 months. That's in Canada. Those are statistics coming out of Canada. Listen again to this Yale epidemiologist, Dr. Harvey Risch, clip 13.
There was a study done of the efficacy of the boosters in Israel, and it was claimed that they had 90% effectiveness for reducing symptomatic infection. However, what they basically were saying is that people who were vaccinated more than 6 months in the past, because that then removed their green card status, they were calling them unvaccinated, when in fact they were vaccinated, and those are the people who are vaccinated who have lost their vaccine efficacy. Right. In any event, this was pointed out by doctors in Israel, professors in Israel, that when they analyze controlling for the testing frequency, that in fact the study showed only a 65% benefit of the booster, not a 90% benefit of the booster.
Wow.
And then what happened is the Ministry of Health removed the screens, for they removed it from their websites, those graphs. Fortunately, the scientists who discovered this had taken images of the particular graphs and put them back up, and they're on blogs now, basically showing that the Ministry of Health changed the information from to show that the vaccines had a better performance than they actually did according to their own study. And they were caught red-handed, as it was described.
They lied. They had a study. They said that it shows this, this, and this. It was pointed out that it was based on flawed science falsely so-called. And then they just scrubbed it from the website. They can't tell the truth. I mean, they could come out with something and say, you know, the boosters, the shots, they're not as effective as we said they were initially. I gave you that laughable statistic yesterday. Here's a case, I guess, where it was reported. Researchers found that among more than 600,000 veterans, J&J's vaccine protection fell from 88% in March to 3% in August. And, of course, CNN will report this because their obvious response to that is that, like the chairman at Moderna says, well, you got to get a booster. You got to get more of the drug. You got to keep taking it. Listen again one last time to this epidemiologist, Harvey Risch, clip 14.
Now, the problem with this is that all of public health has felt the need to provide information according to what it terms is a noble lie. That means that it feels the righteousness of providing information to compel a behavior that it wants to enfranchise, because it feels that the public is not responsible enough to make informed decisions about that behavior.
The noble lie, in order to get you to do what we tell you to do. We'll worship. And the father of that, of course, is Satan the devil. He's the author of lies and murder, like it says in John 8 in verse 44. It doesn't matter, as I say, if there's deadly side effects. Cover that up. Tell the noble lie. Come in and say things that might sound, they might sound noble. They might sound like an angel of light. In fact, we're just surrounded by heartless monsters. That's what it amounts to. There's no love. The spirit of the commandment, the spirit of the sixth commandment, is that we must go beyond, to quote again from the Ten Commandments booklet, simply avoiding hatred or committing violence against any human being. It says much more is required. On the positive side, we must actively love every human being. That's the second and great commandment. Actively love every human being. 1 John 3, verse 14. Let me just read you this. It says, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Jesus talked about in the Gospels, loving your enemies and blessing them that curse you. There is a spirit. There is a spirit to that sixth commandment. The spirit of the commandment is to love the human family. But the spirit of hatred and murder is what permeates our society. And so you have everybody, well, raiding the treasury, going into Virginia saying it didn't really happen, that violent crime didn't happen, don't worry about it. Or even as the buildings go up in flames, it's peaceful here. Just listen to what we say. Never mind what you're seeing. It would be a worthwhile study to delve into the Ten Commandments booklet, and in particular, the sixth commandment, just following on what we got into this morning in our doctrines class. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, not brought to you by Pfizer or Moderna. If you'd like to send us an email, the address is td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.